Welcome to the G-Rated Podcast. This is Mary Emerson. Thanks to Lori McLeod and Pam Washam for their permission to use the background music and the nature sounds, which they composed, performed, and recorded. This is called Ice Melting. Everybody on whatever podcast this ends up on, probably on both the Blind Cool Tech and my podcast, with all the discussion about the K-Sonar mobility device, I thought that I would demo the Mawat sensor, which unfortunately is not being made anymore. The name is spelled M-O-W-A-T. It was manufactured by Warmold International. They were in New Zealand, and then I think Humanware took it over in the early 1980s. I got one in around 1980 or 1979, sometime in there, after I experienced my hearing loss. I am totally deaf on my right side, and having seen one of these, I decided that I would like to have one. There was an employee who left IBM, and I got their Mawat sensor because the company didn't want to give it up. They thought maybe somebody else would need one, and sure enough, I did. I'm going to, first of all, demo the sensor in three separate situations. After that, I'll talk a bit about it. It does have a long range and a short range. The long range will pick up sound reflecting items that are about 10 feet away. The short range works from about a distance of 3 feet. So here's the demo. To demonstrate use of the sensor, my technique was to hold the Olympus WS320 flat in the palm of my left hand and put the sensor up against the recorder and hold them both together. And I was able to do three separate things. The first thing that you're going to hear is me using the sensor on long range, and I was probably about 10 feet away from my apartment door, and I gradually, slowly walked towards the door, and what you'll hear is at the beginning a lower pitched sound, and it starts out kind of slow, and then it gets louder, more intense, and faster as I get closer to the door, and then I actually touch the door with the end of the sensor. The next thing you're going to hear is the same thing as last time, except I'm on short range. I'm only about 3 feet away from the door. Now, for some reason, the signal wasn't quite as steady, and I don't know why that was, because I thought that I was holding it pretty steadily, but apparently it kind of got choppy a little bit as I got toward the door. But as I back away from the door, the signal is a bit more solid. The final thing that you're going to hear is what it's like when you have corridors or hallways to the right and left of you, and you scan straight ahead and you scan right and left. This is in front of my hallway. I started out on short range, so you won't hear much as far as what's ahead, but to the right and left you will notice that there's a sound as I scan to the right and to the left. On the right, there's a much more solid signal, probably because there's a wooden hall door And that texture is a bit different from the regular wall, so I suspect that's probably why the signal is a bit more solid on that side. And then you're going to hear a click halfway through there, and that's when I switch to long range. And what I tried to do was to back off as far as I could, and that way you'll hear what it's like when there's something directly in front, but it's farther away. And then I started going forward towards the back bedroom, and you'll hear the hallway to the left and to the right as I scan, as opposed to the sound of what's in front of me, which is farther away until I actually get into the room. So this will give you a little bit of an idea of what happens with this thing, and it really has been a great help to me in mobility, because I could actually tell immediately what was in front of me, what was to the right and to the left. As cars were going by, I could tell that immediately. If I was in a building where I was standing in front of an elevator and I couldn't really hear the door opening, I could tell that immediately. It's amazing. This thing just gives you instant information. There's no time lag whatsoever with this. Well, that last demo wasn't exactly very clear, but at least you get an idea of what the sound contrast is like and what the vibration contrast is like when you do different things and hold the sensor in different directions, looking at different objects and stuff that's farther or closer. I guess what I probably should do is describe what the thing looks like. It's probably about the size of a cordless phone or cell phone, about 5 or 6 inches long, probably about an inch wide and about an inch thick, maybe about a half an inch thick. And it runs on a rechargeable 9-volt battery, although I used a regular EverReady 9-volt battery for the demo. The way that you use this is that you hold it in one hand, and what I do is I hold two of the corners because if I hold it flat against my hand, it's not straight. And there's quite a bit of time spent in the teaching that they teach you how to hold it straight. And you move the thing back and forth in front of you to the left and then to the right, kind of like using a cane, but it's dependent on where you aim it. And as you move it in front of something that it sees, it will vibrate in your hand. The vibrations get stronger and faster as you get closer to whatever it is you're moving towards, and they get slower and weaker as you move away. There are two ranges with this. The short range is about 3 feet, the long range is 10 feet. There's really no sound to speak of with this thing. The way that I manage to record the sounds is something I explained earlier. So you don't get the texture of something that you're aiming at, but you at least are aware of where it is. And you know how far it is from you. You can kind of estimate that. And it has the advantage of using vibration rather than sounds. And I like that because, number one, I already have a hearing problem. I don't need any more stuff coming into my one good ear than I've already got. Number two, it's not distracting unless somebody's actually watching you scan the thing in front of you back and forth. And a deafblind person can use it, as well as anybody else who would like an additional mobility aid. It works with a dog or with the cane. And you have to hold it in one hand, though, so that's one of the problems with it, is that it's not something you can hook onto your cane and use. These are not being made anymore, I'm sad to say. It really was a great device, and I bought one back, I guess, around 1983, when the one that I got wore out. And I was concerned that, well, I'm going to need this in certain situations. I really need to have one. I probably paid about $500 for it. And this one still works, which is really amazing, because I didn't think that it would. But it does. And on the occasions that I need it, it really comes in handy. I really cannot tell you how many times this thing has saved my life. There have been situations when I should have used it and didn't. For example, one time when I was running out the door to catch a bus, and I was late because I was at work and having to do a whole bunch of stuff at the last minute, and people were coming in asking questions and commenting on stuff, and, oh, we need this, we need that, and so I was in a big hurry. Running out the door, somebody had put a big cart with a VCR right in front of the door that I used to go out to the lobby. I ran right into that, and I didn't know until I got home that my leg had been bleeding for 15 minutes. But fortunately, there was no serious injury or anything. It was just a really skinned, scraped, awful-looking thing. It took a couple of weeks to heal. But that could have been completely avoided had I used the sensor. On the positive side, I can't tell you how many times I've had cars pulling out in front of me. I live on a street with a shopping center between me and the bus stop. And especially in the last few years, people have just gotten reckless and they haven't paid attention, looked behind them when they were pulling out. And the sensor immediately saw the car coming to the left as I was scanning left, or coming in from the right as I was scanning right, and I could tell that as the sound was getting stronger, that there was something in front of me and I better stop. And I always use this on long range when I'm traveling because I want as much prior notice as I can get. So this has just been wonderful. And obstacles, when people were doing construction in the parking lot and I need to be able to walk around stuff that was on the sidewalk. It's just been really great for that. And these days I don't really need it quite so much because I don't travel as much. I like to be safe, and I don't like to be in situations where I'm at risk, where I can get very easily disoriented, so I stay in very familiar territory. But when you're out every day on the bus or just walking around, and even if you're in familiar territory, this thing is a godsend. It's just been wonderful. It's been especially good also when kids have come charging down the street on their bikes and they don't tell me they're coming, and the bike is totally silent, or maybe it isn't, but I can't hear it. And they're coming at me, and I have to move really quick. And the sensor has just been fabulous for that. When I lived in an area where I had to cross a few residential streets to get to the bus stop, the sensor was great because I knew immediately when there was a car coming or turning down the street that I was about to cross, and I didn't have to worry about walking in front of it. Another thing it's been really great in is rain. Even though they tell you that you're not supposed to use it in the rain, I have. And my hearing gets totally messed up when it's raining and the streets are wet, because the sound is just, it doesn't just sound like it's coming out of the sky. It sounds like it's on the left, and if I know that there are bushes or buildings to my left, I know that that's not where the sound is coming from, so I really don't know. And normally when I am walking or when I'm just doing things, everything sounds as if it's coming out of the sky unless it's directly to my left. But when I'm in a situation where it's raining out there, it's totally messed up because I can't tell any direction reliably. So the sensor has really been fabulous, because when I get to those driveways, I don't know what's going on at all. I'm clueless, absolutely clueless. The sounds from the street sound like they're to my left, even though I logically know they're not. They could be anywhere. They could be not only on the street, they could be in front of me, they could be pulling into a driveway behind me, they could be coming out at an angle from the parking lot. I obviously have no way of knowing that, and when you're clueless, you've got to have something that's reliable to help you get where you're going. And fortunately, the sensor has just been great for that. So that's what I've used the sensor for over the years. I don't regret purchasing it. I wish they were still being made, because they're really, even though the market is very, very small for these sorts of things, there really is a market for them. And I think that something like this needs to be at least brought to the attention of people. And just the fact that there's a need for something like this. So that is a bit about the Mowat sensor. I had to go through about 10 hours of instruction to learn to use it. And it was quite interesting, because I had a licensed mobility teacher who was licensed to teach this device. And we went out on this huge plaza, which was in the middle of the building where I worked. And there were towers from this building all around us, and we were in the middle of this plaza, and people were just looking out their windows and watching us, and I had no idea that was going on, but I got comments as the days went by, and people would come up to me and say, "When are you going to start using that thing again?" You know, apparently it was quite entertaining, because they were watching me go up to things, go up to some of the statues that were in the middle of the plaza, go onto the grass and walk up to something. My teacher would say, "Okay, now there's something about 25 feet ahead of you. Go up to it and don't touch it. Walk around it." Or she would take me somewhere where there were maybe three or four posts set up for some reason or other. I don't know why. But she said, "Go in between these posts and don't touch anything, and go between the first and the second and the third, and then come back out and turn around and face him." And it was very interesting, because I was able to do that with this thing. It was just really amazing. So that's a bit about the sensor. It was sold originally by Wormald International in New Zealand, then Humanware took it over. I don't know when the production stopped, but I'm just really sorry that it did. Fortunately, mine still works, and I suppose the type of battery that you can use is a NiCad. It is a rechargeable battery, at least the one that comes with this. I'm using the battery that came with the one that I first got from the person who left. For some reason, I don't know why, the battery that came with mine that I purchased wouldn't charge, and so I figured it probably just died. So when this battery quits, then I'll just use good EverReady or Duracell or something, 9-volt batteries with this, and then that way I'll just use them when I need them. I don't think that I would want to try a nickel metal hydride battery with this because, well, I guess I could, but I'd have to remember not to charge it in the sensor because I think the sensor will only allow NiCad batteries to be charged in it. Because remember, this is 1970s technology. So, that's a bit about the sensor. I don't know what else I can tell you about it. It's a fairly simple device. It just has one switch on it. It's a sliding switch. You slide it up to turn it to long range and down for short range. And it's fairly trouble-free. I think there are parts inside of it that will go bad on you because that happened the first time. In fact, I sent the first sensor off for repair about a month or two after I got it. And they charged me a bunch of money for repair. And then when it finally quit again a few years later, I said, well, I guess this thing is just dead. So that was the end of that. But I hope this has helped someone. And I don't know if any of them are available anymore out on eBay or anything, but it certainly would be worth looking at. MOWAT is how you spell the actual name of it. So I'm sure there must be some floating around somewhere. Anyway, this is about it for this podcast, and thank you for listening.
This has been another edition of the G-Rated Podcast. If you wish to contact me, you can email Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson at sbcglobal.net. Thanks for listening.